Look, faith goes up and down. Real faith, real spirituality goes up and down in the lives of all of us. And if you haven't known that, and if you don't think that's right, well, you've never lived, I don't think, spiritually. That is the sad reality, and it's one of the great things that I look forward to in the kingdom, that we will not be wobbly in our faith, that we will be 24/7, every moment of our existence, forever and ever, with the Lord, and not wandering with him 1 minute and then not the next, or strong in faith, weak the next. No. So David said in his heart, 1 Samuel 27:1, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. But God had promised him clearly that he would not perish by the hand of Saul. And he had expressed his faith in that when he had the opportunity to kill Saul. He said, no, I won't lay my hand on him. I will not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed, because God will take care of this. And he will come and have his time to die in battle or some other way that the Lord arranges. And Jonathan in 1 Samuel 23:17 had said to him, you will be king over Israel. And he said, you know, my father knows that. I know that, you know that, Samuel told us so. There's clear faith in God's word. And yet now in 1 Samuel 27:1, David said in his heart, and let's pause to just give due weight to the fact that God knows everything that goes on in human hearts and even records it thousands of years later so that we can read it. He says, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. So I'll just run away to the land of the Philistines. And yet, God's prophetic word said otherwise. All through Psalm 119, David speaks as if he is a young man who is being persecuted. He's being driven away from the sanctuary. He's got powerful enemies. He despises wealth and he trusts in God's word. And that whole psalm is, I think, written at the time of his wilderness wanderings on the run from Saul. And when he talks there about, I trust in your word, I don't think he necessarily meant all the extant scripture that he had at that point. I think he, at times when he uses that phrase, I trust in your word, he means specifically the word of promise that he would be king, that somehow Saul would die and that somehow what he was going through would end. And I wonder if Psalm 119:25 is his commentary on his feelings when he says, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There he says, my soul is laid low in the dust. Revive me according to your word. I don't think it simply means that, well, I shall read the Bible and I shall be revived. Or else he would have, I assume, got on and done that. But he asks God to do this for him. And he tells God how he feels. And this is a great characteristic of David. And it explains the Psalms where he apparently cusses his enemies and wants God to bring judgment upon Saul. And then when Saul dies, he's really sad about it. I think he's just opening up to God, saying, look, I can't hide my angry, bitter feelings from you, God. No point saying, well, I better not pray to God in this frame of mind. Well, what's the difference? God knows anyway how you feel. So he just tells God how he feels. So he says, my soul is laid low in the dust. That is, as we read in the historical record, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. And he says, revive me according to your word. That is, make me see your word of promise of the kingdom to me is going to come true. Now, we can be the same. We can ask God to use his word to revive us and to give us faith again in the promise of the kingdom, that I really will be in God's kingdom. So it is not simply a question of unaided Bible reading. It is asking God to help you through his word, yes, but to help you. There is something more than facing off against God against, you know, over an open Bible. God reaches over the table. God is more proactive. God will give you attitudes to him and to his word if that's what you want. And In other words, he will act directly upon the human spirit. And he does that by his spirit. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not in our age, speaking in tongues, putting rabbits out of hats, miracles, raising the dead, all that kind of stuff. No, it's more subtle than that and more personally relevant than that. It is God actually, as I say, reaching over the table and giving you attitudes to his word, faith in his word, if that is what you want, as David did. And I think you have an example of how this worked out in practice in Psalm 13. Well, like in a lot of the Psalms, he begins sort of lamenting his lot, and yet by the end of the Psalm, he's, as it were, talked himself out of the position he started with. And this is what prayer is. Prayer is not simply a list of requests fired at God. Give me this, give me that, etc. It is dialogue. And when you read the Psalms, I mean, how many of those verses in those Psalms, which are all prayers of David, how many of them are requests? Hardly any of them. I mean, there are some. But generally, it is him opening himself up to God and reasoning with himself, with God, in prayer before God. So Psalm 13, how long, Yahweh, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall my enemy triumph over me? Now, the enemy is clearly Saul, who is called his enemy, 1 Samuel 18:29, 1 Samuel 19:17. So he's feeling that, look, he's triumphing over me. 1 Samuel 27:1, I shall surely perish by the hand of Saul. Saul is going to kill me, even though God's word said otherwise. And he asks God to revive his faith in the word of promise that he really would be in the kingdom. It's in Psalm 119 that we just looked at. And now in Psalm 13, we have a wonderful window into the kind of prayer experience he has. He tells God how he feels and that you are hiding your face from me. Well, God wasn't hiding his face from David. He wasn't forgetting David forever. But that's how David felt, and so he doesn't think, oh, I'm not in a suitable frame of mind to pray to God. He just tells God, this is how I feel. Feels like you're going to forget me forever. How long are you going to forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will my enemy Saul triumph over me? Answer me, lest I sleep in death. Now, again, this is 1 Samuel 27:1. I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. And he asks God then that this should not be the case. And by the end of Psalm 13, which is a short psalm, he suddenly says, verse 5, I trust in your grace. My heart rejoices in your salvation, and you could say that that is really his faith returning in the word of promise that he would really be saved and from Saul and that he would be king. And then he concludes, I will sing to Yahweh because he has been good to me. Well, that's not how he started the psalm. He starts saying, you've forgotten me forever. You've forgotten me. That you're not active in my life anymore. You promised me that I would be king, and I'm going to die now by the hand of Saul. So you see how within the course of the psalm, and these psalms are prayers, let us remember that, in the course of the prayer, he persuades himself otherwise. He begins depressed and ends ecstatically joyful. There's no evidence that God intervened in the course of his prayer or an angel stood there and told him something. And so you see the advantage of opening up your feelings to God, even if they are not very good feelings. How long are you going to forget me? Forever? How long do you hide your face from me? Well, God did not forget him. God had not hidden his face from him. But he shares those feelings with God, and in the process of doing that, by being absolutely honest with God about his feelings, he reasons himself, with the help of God's Spirit during that prayer, to this point of ecstatic joy by the end of the prayer. And it did all finally come true. He did not perish by the hand of Saul, as he thought he was going to, or was convinced he was going to, but he did become the king of the kingdom. And as he prayed in Psalm 119, "My soul lies in the dust, I'm very low. Revive me according to your word, the word of promise of the kingdom." Now, we have in essence the same word of promise to us, that we will be in the kingdom, and that the Lord Jesus, who is real, you know, Jesus is real. He is there. He is actually real, listening to us. He is there in heaven. He is not far away. He's sifting through our thoughts. He prods around within the hearts of all men, including you and me. Jesus has promised that he will save us, and that one day he will say to us, "Well done, come into the kingdom that my Father's prepared for you. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's his will to save you." And this is what his name means, Yahoshua, Yah saves. God wants to save. He is not indifferent. And that is the word of promise. And yet, our soul at times lies low in the dust. Who am I? Shall I be saved? I couldn't care. Why am I like this? It's not for me. I am so weak. You know, if you've never had those thoughts, as I say, you've never really lived. You must be extremely arrogant and up yourself. And everybody who's really lived spiritual life has had these feelings. If you are humble, you will have had these feelings. How can sinful man not ever have such feelings? If you are really in a live relationship with God and Jesus, you will have these feelings at times, just as David did. And here's the great pattern of David for us: to open yourself to God. And don't think, "I can't possibly tell God how I feel." Open up yourself. Tell him how you feel. This is what the Psalms are all about. And in the process of doing that, he will persuade you by his Spirit of the truth of his word of salvation to each of us, which is that you will be in the kingdom.